Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. And allegedly, BK is at BK's Burner in the Twitterverse. I want to get back to some NFL discussion here. We talked a lot about the NFC East. And even though the Cowboys and the Eagles have had their struggles this year, gentlemen, they find themselves in a situation where anybody can win the NFC East. Right now, the Eagles have the lead in the NFC East at 3-6-1, but it is essentially somewhat of a three-way tie for second. And if you look at all the tiebreakers, the Cowboys are probably on the bottom of that tiebreaker scenario. But right now, 3-7, or three teams are tied with 3-7 records in the NFC East. So it's still up for the Cowboys. They can still win this thing. And I think
easiest schedule remaining.
Easier schedule remaining. Yeah. And I think the momentum and the narrative have shifted a little bit as it relates to tanking, right? There was a lot of talk about, oh, the Cowboys are going to tank. They should tank. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't tank. And I'm not saying, you know, they aren't going to lose more games, end up picking high in the draft. But it doesn't seem like there's any way that there's going to be an intentional move by the Cowboys to make themselves less competitive. Not saying they're going to tank, but even to, we're gonna play some of our younger guys. We're going to try to evaluate more talent. There is another. The Cowboys are going to try to win this division, gentlemen, in my opinion. I think they're going to try to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and I think they made that clear and obvious when they announced that Andy Dalton was going to get his starting job back. I mean, Garrett Gilbert did look pretty good against Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago. There's no doubt about that. I think he exceeded everybody's expectations. But for me, it felt like Andy Dalton gave this team the best chance to win just based off what he's been able to accomplish over the course of his NFL career. So I never thought the Cowboys would try to tank. Now the question of should they try to tank, that's a very fair one, and you can make a strong argument that they probably should be trying to lose every single game, but it just never felt like, based off what Mike McCarthy was saying, based off what Jerry and Stephen Jones were saying, it never felt like that was really going to be in the cards for this Cowboys football team. And now, because every other team in the division is so bad, yeah, Dallas has a chance to make the playoffs. And if they get there, they probably won't do anything. But just that chance to make the postseason is enough for teams to keep fighting and keep trying as hard as they can.
I know they're tied up and they don't have some leverage with some of these guys that can play but are in way too big of contracts, and that's Dallas's fault. But there are still some guys they could have traded at the trade deadline that would have told you they're tanking.
Yeah.
And they could have gotten a lot back for an Aldon Smith. Or, I mean, they actually have some guys that they would have gotten a lot back, and that told me at the time that they're not going to go full-out tank.
I can't believe I'm asking this question right now, but I think I'm serious when I ask it. For the remaining weeks of the 2020 season, would you guys rather have Carson Wentz or Andy Dalton as your team's starting quarterback?
Sadly, it's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
And you know what? Wentz has really devolved. And we talk about bad reps with quarterbacks. A lot of times that's their first year. Well, as I mentioned earlier, he started 11-2. He's 11-19-1 or 17-19-1 since then. And I feel like he's created some bad habits. I mean, he too is, you raise your hand and he thinks he's going to get hit. I mean, he'll flush himself out of the pocket. It feels like his awareness and his timing is so off right now as a quarterback. And he's got an awful line.
Yeah, I mean, ever since that knee injury he suffered a couple of years ago, he just hasn't been the same quarterback. And we're so used to, nowadays in football and nowadays in sports in general, guys coming back from injury without any problem, right? They look the exact same. Sometimes they look even better after coming back from injury. Carson Wentz just hasn't been that same quarterback. No. It's just affected everything that he's done. Leads the NFL in interceptions, leads the NFL in sacks. And going into yesterday, he was 32nd in the league in completion percentage and 31st in yards per attempt. Like, he has just been nothing. And there's not really anything you can point to that gives you confidence or optimism that he is going to be good moving forward. I mean, I get that he was really good and almost won the MVP a few years ago, but it does feel like he's devolved, to use the word you used, KD, and it feels like he's just getting worse every time he goes out there.
Well, did it start, was it last year, at the end of last year when this regression began?
I mean, he wasn't very good. He wasn't this bad last
year.
First year
he came back, yeah.
But he was not that good last year.
At the end of last year.
Right.
Okay. Well, because, you know, obviously and everybody can, you know, bring up this excuse, but for some, it might be more acute than others. he did not have the offseason, you know, usually what some quarterbacks, and we talk about this a lot with baseball players, right? Very ritualistic and very traditional,
yes.
Right? They, you know, they go through a spring training. These guys, their bodies are very accustomed to going through a certain regimen to build up to a certain, you know, zenith, if you will, or where they're playing at their best at the right time. Could just be that he got, you know, his system was shocked basically by not having a traditional offseason. I think, you know, this is something that Doug Peterson noticed, and he is more intimate with that situation than us. He knows, I think that's why they had a priority to draft a quarterback higher. A lot of people were thinking about the mystery of drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. Why would they do that when Carson Wentz has been playing like an MVP caliber quarterback when he's not hurt? Why would you do that? What was the big reason? You know, I theorize that maybe he's trying to come up with a short yardage 2-point conversion weapon, right? He's trying to evolve the game in that aspect, because he goes for it on fourth down and has gone for 2-point conversions more than any other quarterback in the NFL. Maybe that wasn't it. Maybe that's part of why they drafted Jalen Hurts, but maybe the real reason was he saw this coming.
Yeah,
maybe he saw it coming before anybody else. And even though he says he's not going to bench Carson Wentz, at least now he's got the option. And that's what the fans are yelling for right now. They're mm-hmm. yelling for Jalen Hurts. Imagine how bad your quarterback situation is when you are now yelling for the quarterback who you criticized them for drafting just this year. You're like, that's a dumb pick. That's a stupid pick. Now you're like, play that guy. Because the one we just drafted, the one that we have as our starting quarterback right now, is regressed to the point where he's not even competitive anymore. He's hurting us more than he's helping us.
If he was taking him for short yardage, and I said it at the time when you theorized that, or 2-point conversions, it was easier to swallow. If he was taking Jalen Hurts to be the next quarterback for them, I think they're in some trouble.
I don't know.
Yeah,
saying.
It's a bizarre situation, man. I mean, I never saw this coming for Carson Wentz, but he is awful. And some good news for you Cowboys fans out there. The salary cap hit for Carson Wentz in 2021, so next season, is $60 million.
Ooh.
And then it's $40 million the year after that. Remember, he signed that huge four-year extension last offseason. The Eagles don't have any outs on that deal. So if he continues to play the way he's played this year, then Philly's going to be in some salary cap hell. And I don't know if anyone's going to be willing to trade for that contract right now. I don't know if I'm closing the book on Carson Wentz. I'm not closing the book on Carson Wentz right now. But once again, he's been terrible all year. And people make a lot of excuses for that guy. And he's dealt with some things. They've had injuries at the wide receiver position. Miles Sanders has been out. The offensive line has rotated a lot. But I'm just thinking, like, if Dak Prescott was doing what he was doing, how much that dude would be getting absolutely crushed and destroyed. Not just by local media, by national media.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz has kind of been skating by for a while, but I think people are finally starting to realize that, no, this dude is a serious liability right now for Philly. And because he's been that bad, the Cowboys have a chance. I mean, it feels like the Eagles have the most talented roster in terms of healthy guys left in the NFC East, and you feel like on paper they've got the best quarterback, right?
Wow.
You're comparing him to Daniel Jones and Alex Smith and Andy Dalton. It feels like Carson Wentz should be the best, but he ain't playing that way right now, and that's why all four teams still have a shot at this thing.
Daniel Jones is I want to say right now Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones are probably playing at the same level.
It feels that way.
And Daniel Jones is.
But Alex Smith, one leg, Alex Smith might be better than those guys.
Look, forgot about
I think
what,
Smith may be.
Yeah? I haven't watched Alex Smith this year. And what a story. I got to watch him, actually. I haven't got a chance to watch a lot of Alex Smith, but that's a hell of a story.
He looks. Yeah. Am I reading this right, that Wentz's contract is $107 million guaranteed?
Yeah. 4 for $128 with $107 guaranteed.
Yeah.
No, they were sure he was the guy. I mean, they upped him before they had to. They were like,
I didn't think it was a bad move.
If he was the future, it was a move that would have put you in a nice salary cap space, right?
You'd actually because you were going to pay for that anyway.
Yeah, you'd be getting a value for him, but right now, that's not a value right now.
Yeah.
That's looking like a liability later on. I mean, I guess I can just cut him and just go with dead money later on and just draft themselves another quarterback or develop Jalen Hurts for the time being, but I don't know what you do when your franchise quarterback, at least you thought the guy was going to be your franchise quarterback, completely regresses. I don't know, or devolves, as you said, Katie. I don't know what you do.
It's a lot of dead money. We'll see what happens there. By the way, FPI still gives the Eagles the best chance to win the NFC East at 44%, even though they do have the hardest remaining schedule of those four teams in the NFC East.
Oh, FPI right now.
So, who
knows? With the NFC East.
Guys, some of the big other storylines from across the NFL. You know, all week long, and we didn't get to talk about it too much because we generally focus on the Texas teams, but a big storyline around the NFL was Sean Payton's decision to start Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston at quarterback for the Saints. And a lot of people were questioning that move, right? I mean, we kind of know what Jameis Winston is, but he started a lot of games as a quarterback in the National Football League. Taysom Hill had started zero games as a quarterback in the National Football League. Now, he's thrown a couple of passes. We know that guy's the jack of all trades. He does a little bit of everything for that Saints offense. But that was kind of a criticized, at least a question decision that Sean Payton made. And Taysom Hill balled out, guys. I mean, it was against Atlanta, one of the worst teams in football, but 18 of 23 through the air, 233 yards, had a couple of rushing touchdowns. He was pretty damn good. And I'm sitting here last week reading all these reports and all these folks questioning the Sean Payton decision, and I'm like, dude, as a Texas fan, watching what that guy did against Texas 2 years in a row, I'm convinced Taysom Hill can walk on water. So I sure as hell thought he was going to be fine against the Atlanta Falcons, and he made Sean Payton look pretty smart, and also Sean Payton had a pretty damn good game plan to show how good of a coach he is.
He did. So did you guys see the longest pass for the Saints this year, completed pass? Was the ball that slipped out of his hand and looked like a punt.
Yeah.
I mean, the DBs were rightfully lost on that thing. It does go to, I mean, I still have questions about what he would look like, and we still should have questions as a full-time starter. But you can also tell Sean Payton loves being able to engineer offenses with a guy like that. And he's been able to do it as a tight end, H-back, whatever else he's been. But as a full-time quarterback, they had him on the run. He made smart decisions. They put him in really good spots. Saints are just a damn good team right now.
Yeah. I mean, I said it. I thought it was going to work because it's Sean Payton. He's comparing it to Steve Young. Sean Payton's not one
for
hype.
One game. My point is, like, for a whole year, I would love to see what he looks like as a starter. Because I have no idea right now.
I don't even know if he's going to get that chance. Like, we don't know. Because when Drew Brees comes back, he's going to be fine. His whole point about what Sean Payton does, right? When he brought in Teddy Bridgewater last year, and they went, what, 5-0 in games that he started? The whole point is he looks at the quarterback position differently. And with an aging quarterback like Drew Brees, he's always tried to err on the side of, well, if this is the most valuable position, I need to have insurance on this position. Whether it was Teddy Bridgewater last year, or Jameis Winston now, or even Taysom Hill when they signed the contract, I've always supported it. I said that's a good, smart move because you never know when you're going to need them. And the reason that the Saints are still probably going to end up getting the bye in the NFC is because they decided to approach the quarterback position on a more macro level. And if anything in our life is valuable, whether it be life or health or a car or a house, we always have insurance on it. But people don't do that. Even the smartest don't do that. Look at my boy Shano. Still hadn't figured out that you need a backup quarterback every now and then, even though your quarterback is always hurt. So I applaud that move, just the overall methodology and the rationale. But also, I mean, like I said, he compared him to Steve Young. That's, dude, he knows how good Steve Young is. When he breaks out that comparison, I don't think he's doing it as hyperbole. He doesn't want to look like an idiot when he's like, this guy can be as good as Steve Young. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Steve Young, but for him to even throw that name out there, it's like, Sean Payton, do you know who Steve Young is? Yeah, he knows who Steve Young is. And he threw that out there because he knows, well, in my system, I see this guy becoming something along those lines. If you had him in your system, you jabroni, he'd be a scrub. But in my system, because I am one of the better coaches in the NFL, and my football acumen is through the freaking roof, and I use more personnel packages than anybody in the NFL, I can turn him into a great quarterback. I'm a nurturer. I'm a quarterback guru. So it works in this system, and I agree with KD. Anybody else, it doesn't work. You got to have the perfect guy for this system. You got to be compatible, and he has made sure the system is compatible. And that's why he chose Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, in this offense, dude, he throws so many picks. He'd be trying to throw through linebackers. You can't do that. 27 of his, 30 interceptions last year were short to intermediate range. So
He fumbles the football. He just turns it over.
Yeah, so you can't have that. I think in this offense, Taysom Hill is more compatible. But KD's right. Over a 16-game season, there's no telling how this is going to play out, and that's up to Sean Payton. I don't even know if you'll ever get there because once Drew Brees comes back, he goes back to being a utility guy. And then next year, the way Sean Payton works, he revamps the entire quarterback position overall.
Yeah.
Is Drew Brees going to play? All right, remember, the reason they signed him to the deal is because they thought Drew Brees might retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drew Brees talked about it. I might retire. He's like, well, if you're going to retire, I got to lock this guy up. They lock him up. Drew Brees comes back, and they sign Jameis, best case scenario. Next year, they'll get rid of Jameis. Maybe Drew retires, and they may revamp the whole damn quarterback model again and draft himself a quarterback.
I would love to hear Sean Payton use the word jabroni during one of his press conferences.
I could maybe see that.
That's what I'm looking for the rest of the way. But the Saints, six games left, guys. They've got one against Kansas City. That's going to be tough. But the other five opponents, teams with losing records. So they could stay hot even with Taysom Hill.
They could stay hot. Look, Drew's got 13 broken ribs right now. So who knows how long Taysom's going to be in there.
Is that the real number?
I think so. That's
God,
right.
I mean, it sounds so fake. It sounds like you're exaggerating, but it's
with
something
the punctured,
ridiculous.
Punctured lung. Collapsed lung, which is even worse than punctured. Some of the verbs they use in lungs.
It sounds like bad.
There's nothing that's ever, ever good.
Yeah, how do you play with that?
But I would love, and I hope it happens. I hope we see if Drew says, hey, the ribs are too much and retires after this year, I hope we get a year at Taysom Hill. Because he may not be Steve Young, but watching him in that offense is fun. I mean, it's college on Sunday is what it is.
Roddy White tweeted out a couple of days before the Falcons played the Saints. Saints about to get whipped trying us with Taysom Hill at quarterback. We're about to snack them. Sean Payton after the game retweeted that tweet. So Sean Payton knows that a lot of people out there don't necessarily believe in Taysom Hill, and they think he's spouting out just random, you know, just kind of random noise talking about, oh, he's comparing him to Steve Young. I don't know, man. I got a lot of belief in Sean Payton, just Sean Payton as a guy. He was as a guy that believed in Drew Brees when everybody else in the league didn't want to believe in Drew Brees.
True.
He knows a lot about quarterbacks. He just does.
There was some good coach smack talking. We'll get to that here in a second before I need to tell you about Miller Lite. Miller Lite is the ultimate light beer, the official light beer and the official beer for the University of Texas and the Dallas Cowboys. So we got a winner with the Cowboys this last week, and you can enjoy your turkey, your Cowboys, your Longhorns, and do it with the best light beer out there. It is light, only one more calorie than Ultra. You get so much more taste, but you get the 96 calories. You're going to be packing on a lot, hopefully, this week. And so make sure that you still enjoy your drink, but you do it on the light side. And that's where Miller Lite comes in. Please enjoy it responsibly. So I don't know if you guys saw, did you guys see Pat Fitzgerald, the Northwestern coach?
Oh, man. I did not.
Who was not happy. I guess Desmond Howard. Joey Galloway had said, you know what? They're not that athletic. They're kind of like the fighting Reese Davises.
I did hear that. What does that mean?
I think it's a white crack, kind of an anchor crack.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? They're smart, but they're not that good.
It's a white crack and a journalist crack. Right?
That's exactly what
it is.
It's
a school of journalists.
He brings that up after.
That was awesome.
And then I don't know if you guys saw Mike Tomlin with the whole Mac conversation. Someone had kind of said that they're kind of a Mac team, Pittsburgh. And so he had five of his Mac guys, the conference, that are on Pittsburgh. And he took a picture with them and put it on Twitter.
I want to say that's a joke between him and Big Ben.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, because Big Ben, remember Big Ben had, they asked Big Ben because he hadn't been practicing because of the COVID thing. So they asked Big Ben, hey, how you liking not practicing? He's like, actually, I kind of like it.
He
played and he didn't practice. And they asked Mike Tomlin, it was like, so Big Ben played great without practicing. He's older. Do you think you would just kind of keep that up? And I think that's when Tomlin made the comment, like, this ain't Maction, all right? We expect him to be available.
I was wondering where that was coming from because I saw the tweet and I thought, man, these coaches are just going nuts, right? They're listening to everything.
And then Big Ben came back at it. Big Ben said something about, like, some of your best players are on the mat, coach. You might want to remember that.
I remember seeing that. Before this kind of went viral, I was just watching like NFL Live, and Mike Tomlin said, this isn't a Big Ten team playing a MAC team this week. And I'm just like, whoa. Your Hall of Fame quarterback is a MAC guy.
From the MAC.
We'll be ragging on the MAC.
Yeah, so now I think all the guys on the team that are from the MAC having fun at the coach and going at them. So
and they all took a picture, after the game. Tomlin with the five MAC dudes.
That's pretty
good. Which is pretty
hilarious. They're having
fun, man.
They are.
They should
be. Fun.
Harbaugh and Vrabel weren't having fun. That was serious.
That was serious.
Yeah. And those two guys are hard asses, but at the end of that thing, if you missed it, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but as Rod points out, Tennessee kind of does their 1990 Miami Hurricane thing. They're all at midfield, but they turned around once their huddle broke and they started talking to Baltimore sideline, and that's when Harbaugh jumps in there and he starts talking back and forth with some Titans. And at the end of the game, he wanted no part of that handshake with Vrabel. Because Vrabel went up to him, tried to shake his hand.
He goes, that's a little petty. You should,
just shake his hand.
Just go shake his hand.
Right. Even if you say something.
Or give him the fist bump and keep it moving.
Yeah.
Even if you go up and say something to him, like say, hey, coach, I didn't appreciate that. Usually he'll go, my bad, coach.
I'm telling you, they're doing their bit.
They are.
They're intimidating and punking people. That is Baltimore's bit.
That is, and Tennessee. The Tennessee are bullies. They're bullies.
Yeah.
Think about it, the way they built that team. They built it
with
the
running back,
the most mammoth offensive
receiver.
Linebackers are big. Even their receivers are like tight ends. And that's Vrabel. That's Vrabel's personality. Vrabel, not that he's a bully, like trying to bully people, but that's the way he wants to play football. I want to bully you. I want to punk you. I'm going to Debo you. And that's really how they kind of made their kind of claim in the league. That's their identity. And they went there and punked Baltimore.
Yeah.
They punked Baltimore at their own game. They've done that twice now in
2020. I was about to say.
At their own game, trying to be the most physical team and run the ball and play hard-nosed defense. And they're like, nah, we do that better in the AFC.
Right.
So I don't know what Baltimore's going to do. Baltimore's
in a weird spot.
They're in a strange spot.
Yeah.
Because what do you do now if you're Baltimore, right? You got the guy just won MVP last year, who is already regressing. You're watching Carson Wentz and what's happening with the Eagles right now, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, and you know the Greg Roman thing, right? There's a history with Greg Roman quarterbacks, how they kind of hit their plateau, and they don't really get better.
It looks great for the first couple years.
It looks amazing.
But then there's not much to it after
right?
that.
Right? So what kind of deal are you going to sign Lamar Jackson to? What kind of, because you, unless you can get someone that can evolve his game and evolve that offense, like Katie's saying, above what Greg Roman's doing, because Greg Roman is Greg Roman at this point.
Yeah,
he's great,
but he is what he
is. So you got to bring in somebody else. And if you don't, it looks like Lamar's going to plateau right here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's going to be a bad player, still pretty good, but he can't beat Kansas City like this. And hell, I'm not even sure if he can consistently beat Tennessee.
I mean, they can't
like
right
this.
Now.
So what do you do? You sign him to the biggest deal ever for a quarterback when you know you can't even beat Kansas City?
That's dangerous.
I don't know. If you're a boss, I have no idea
what
you do.
And he can't throw to receivers on the outside?
What do you do?
Although he did hit Dez. Good to see Dez.
Dez, baby!
Was it 3 or 4 years? 2017?
What year is this?
Yeah.
What year is it?
Yeah. You know, if the season ended today, guys, we'll end it with this. If the season ended today, Baltimore would be out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
What the?
I know. Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland's what? So
Cleveland's in. Raiders are in.
Wow.
All those teams are ahead of them.
That's
right now.
Unbelievable, man.
Obviously, Pittsburgh on top of that division at 10-0.
They got to go to college and go get one of the best offensive minds in the game. They need to go pull somebody that can juice. I want to keep Greg Roman style, but they need somebody that can add on to it. Because right now, I'm with you, KD. It's plateaued.
Have you guys seen Tennessee's schedule the rest of the way here?
No.
Is
it too easy?
No. Indianapolis, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Detroit, Green Bay, and Houston. So they've got a couple wins in there, but that's still going to be pretty tough for them as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. But they, they're an any given Sunday team.
They really are.
Tennessee's any given Sunday. They can win any given Sunday, also or play a bad game, and then they could lose too.
Yeah. So there's some NFL thoughts. We'll continue to recap the NFL tomorrow and start to preview Thursday's games tomorrow as well. Of course, a short week here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got the BK Lounge coming up next, though. A new type of speed dating that has me very intrigued. Next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BK Lounge. November 23rd, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Also, the best holiday gift you can give yourself this holiday season. Give them a call, 512-255-8678. TV, surround sound, whole home lighting, whole home security, whatever your audio, video, automation heart desires. AV Consultations has your back. They are the absolute best in the business. All right, gentlemen, we've got a new bit in the speed dating game. You guys ever done speed dating before?
Never.
Okay. It is when you, this might be an old school thing, when you go to like a restaurant, this is way back and I found it's like an old man. You go to a restaurant and then they have different women at the tables and you just go around.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that before.
How'd it go?
Nah, it's overrated.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, according,
it's awkward. It's not awkward.
It's quick, too,
it's,
isn't
it's
it?
It's too awkward.
You just get like 5 or 10 minutes to talk to somebody.
Yeah, it's like you get
like
a couple of minutes and then you move on and it's really, every
interview.
Now and then you hit it off, but it's awkward. It's just awkward stuff. Yeah. And if you're wasted, though, you have a lot more fun.
There you
I
go.
Did. I wasn't wasted and I should have been wasted.
They don't have as much fun, but you have
you
fun.
You have fun,
yeah,
exactly.
Right, which
it's
going to
be awkward
matters,
either way. You might as well enjoy yourself. Yeah.
That's every aspect of life, right? If you're wasted, it's a lot more fun.
That's true.
It's like bowling.
It's a lot more fun for you and less fun for the people dealing with you.
You heard that right, kids. According to Merriam and or Webster, speed dating is an organized social activity in which people seeking romantic relationships have a series of short conversations with potential partners in order to determine whether there is mutual interest. So there is your dictionary definition of speed dating. Basically, it's a group of singles going on quick fire dates with each other. How it usually works is the way you said, Rod B, where like one set of daters stays at the same place, and then the other set of daters
the guys
moves
rotate
from place to place.
It's
usually
the
like
guys
that, right?
Will rotate.
The ladies stay put. Every 5 minutes, the guys will rotate from table to table if the two people register a mutual interest. Then contact information is exchanged, and bang.
Bang.
Hopefully.
Literally and figuratively.
Mike Breen there.
Bang.
Bang.
Oh, where's this drop?
Come on, we got to have Breen.
Bang!
There it is.
Thank you, Mike. So speed dating has been a thing forever, but just like everything else in the world, guys, it has been tweaked due to COVID-19.
Oh, this is going to be good.
We now have speed dating on airplanes, gentlemen. Where is this speed dating flight going? Nowhere.
Oh, God.
That's right. A speed dating flight to nowhere is now a thing. Taiwanese airline EVA Air has launched a speed dating event for singles in which 20 men and 20 women will board a plane for a 3-hour ride, and then they'll land right back where they started.
So they actually are flying somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
A flight to nowhere.
Wow. You know, I think the airlines are overrating how much we like the route, you know, the actual flying part of it. Remember when the pandemic first started, how they had, they were like, we know people are missing being in airplanes.
Yeah, like you can go like a business. And like
Yeah, you can just go hang out
on the airplane.
Hotels are doing that too.
We don't miss y'all.
You can work at a hotel for a day.
For the day to get away from your family.
Yeah, because we know you've missed the hotels that you stay at so much. That's everyone's favorite part of traveling, right? Is staying at a hotel.
Right. You guys
and
are
not
evil
your
necessities
house.
To living and traveling.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a flight to nowhere. Thankfully, it's a Taiwanese airline. I'd be a little nervous if it was a Malaysian airline doing a flight to nowhere bit. We saw how that worked a few years ago. How about that one?
Great reference.
The airline, EVA Air, teamed up with Mobius, which is a travel experience company, and they've organized these flights called Fly Love is in the Air. And these flights are set to take place on Christmas, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day.
Whoa!
So you've got multiple opportunities to get in on this, and those are times where you would like to have a significant other.
That's when you're loneliest.
So you're okay.
Yeah, that's when you're at your loneliest, when the holidays come.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Each flight will take off from Taipei, then circle the island nation's airspace for those 3, hopefully romantic, hours. There's daytime treks and nighttime treks. The daytime treks will soar over Taiwan's east coast with views of mountain ranges, and then the nighttime trips will fly over the western shore with vistas of illuminated cities below. So you're getting some scenery when you're just flying around the island trying to hit on chicks.
This is lame.
Inside the plane, travelers won't be able to choose their seats. Instead, they'll be seated 2x2 by a lucky draw.
Oh.
But despite the seating arrangements, passengers can mix and mingle with those in other rows. But I don't think this is a timed thing, right? Like a normal speed dating bit where like every 5 or 10 minutes you kind of have to get up and switch seats. This is, I believe it's at your discretion based off the research I did. So if you get sat next to somebody and you're hitting it off, you're enjoying each other's company, you realize you like that person, you don't have to get up and change seats. You can stay there for the entirety of the 3-hour flight. The single crowd We'll also munch on dishes prepared by a Michelin-starred chef.
Whoa.
Although they'll need to keep their masks on while not eating or drinking.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts here. So you get some food made by the Michelin tire man. I didn't realize that guy could cook. I didn't realize that was even a real guy. But that's pretty
cool.
He
does kind of have a chef's hat on.
Yeah, I guess. He's all white. He looks like a mummy, right? Made of tire. What is he made of?
Looks like it's made of tire.
It's all white, though.
It's actually more marshmallow.
Yeah. It's like a mummy.
Like the marshmallow.
Toilet
man.
Paper just wrapped around that dude. But anyway, he's cooking you food, apparently. And also, you have to have masks on when you're not eating. Which I get. Okay. COVID.
Yeah,
but
right. But you're trying to check out the
you're
full face.
To, yeah, you're trying to see what they look like. This is speed dating here.
Hey, she's got a phone. Show me a picture of yourself without the mask.
Yeah.
Boom. That's
that
how you
could
work
be a fake picture.
Could be.
Could be well, a fake picture. Like, my point is you should probably just make sure these people test for COVID. Like, you
that
test them before
be
they get on the plane,
yes.
And then you don't have to have a mask
that's
on.
A good point.
Because you don't want to date someone. You don't want to meet someone when they're wearing a mask, right?
No.
That's true.
Know.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah,
that
yeah you could test in that way.
That it worked like that restaurant you told us about last week.
Yes,
the restaurant
in New York
that was testing beforehand.
Yeah, they're charging you
for a test and a date night.
2 days a week.
Yeah,
on Tuesday and Wednesday, they're charging you $50 to get tested, so you can go eat inside at the restaurant. But the other 5 days, the restaurant's going to be open without the paid test.
And this is not a Michelin star place, a New York place. $50 was actually would be more than any single item they have.
Yeah,
there.
Weird bit.
That's true.
It is a weird bit.
Weird bit. Here's a quote from Chang Sung Wei, the spokesperson for Mobius's speed
Chang
dating arm.
Chang Sung, who is Wei, or Chang Sung Wei?
Chang Sung Wei.
Chang Sung Wei.
Chang Sung Wei.
Chang Sung
Wei. Oh, okay.
Chang Sung Wei.
Should start calling you Bill Parcells, that thing. Quote, because of COVID-19, EVA Air has been organizing faux travel experiences to fulfill people's desire for travel. When single men and women travel, apart from enjoying the fun in travel, they may wish to meet someone like a scene in a romantic movie.
Oh, okay.
So you guys questioned this a little bit at the start, right? Bad bit. Who would do this? Apparently, the first flight sold out within a week.
Losers.
So they've already gotten a pretty good response in Taiwan. Now, it's only 20 guys and 20 women, so it's not like a full-fledged 737
still, though,
type
but
flight.
Still a week? That's...
But yeah. So it's a 3-hour flight, and then it apparently is followed by a 2-hour date back on land as well.
Okay.
So I guess there's...
group date?
I think it's, yeah, the whole group stays
they
together.
They kind of stay somewhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to ask, does this pique y'all's interest? I mean,
it's getting better.
Okay.
What? I'm not, yeah, it's interesting.
Are you allowed to join any clubs while you're up there?
Oh.
I would guess.
I mean, if it's not, if the plane's not full...
Do what you want.
Right?
There's a whole bunch of other people around, but I guess if you could find,
you can find a bathroom.
I don't think this is a full plane, though, like in terms of even size.
Oh,
like, I think it's a smaller
plane. You
think
it's a smaller jet?
I don't know if there's only 40 seats on the plane,
okay.
But I assume it's way smaller than your
737
standard,
or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
American Airlines, Southwest Airlines flight.
Mile High Club, I'd think about it. If they said, look, we're not going to encourage it, but we're not exactly going to...
We're not going to stop you.
Yeah, we're not going to cuff you.
Yeah,
you guys are grown-ups.
The laboratory's in the back, if you
want to... Nice word.
Use that.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's lavatory. Pronounced,
it
right? Lavatory.
I think it's lavatory.
Occupado.
Is it lavatory? Is it with an R in there? Or is it lavatory?
Lavatory.
Okay.
Is there no R in there?
Like laboratory? Like lavatory?
There may
like,
be.
Yeah, Dexter's,
it might be.
Dexter's
but
laboratory.
But I mean, then again, he pronounces everything different.
I know,
so
I never know it's right or not because BK mispronounces every damn thing. So
yeah.
I could be wrong about
you're lucky
this
I didn't pronounce faux the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Fox. F-O-U-X cannot be faux. That makes no sense. It's Fox Travel, okay? There is a little controversy.
Lavatory.
There's a little controversy with this thing, gentlemen.
Exactly.
The participants on these Taiwanese matchmaking journeys must be men between the ages of 28 and 38, and women between the ages of 24 and 35.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's tight restrictions.
So some people aren't happy with the age restrictions in general, right? 10 years for men, 11 years for women. But also the fact that the men are older than the women for
well,
these
that just makes sense. Half your age plus 7. They actually cut it a little too close there. You know?
Well, most cultures, men usually marry younger.
Yeah,
right.
That's kind of the quote that Chang Sung Wei, not
that's true.
Her son.
Her son.
Chang Sung
her
Wei,
son getting a lot of run in this article.
Said from different surveys we've done, most of the male participants would like to meet women younger than them,
that's
while
true.
Female participants would like to meet men older than them. That's why there's different age criteria
yeah,
for the event. The cost is $200.
Now, he didn't get into why there's a reason that both those things take place, yeah. Right?
Well, women want somebody can take care of them, and men want somebody that's going to look good a long time.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Did not get into that conversation. That's not from Chang Sung or Chang Sung's son.
It's Mrs. Baber's son, Rod.
There you go.
Birds and the bees.
The cost of this thing, guys, keep in mind, it's a 3-hour flight to nowhere. You're just flying around, and then you're landing in the same spot. And then also a 2-hour rendezvous, some call it rendezvous, when you land. $295 per person.
It's actually not that bad.
I thought it would be worse.
I thought it'd be more than that.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be like 500 or something. It's not bad.
And sort of a weird twist. The trips all end with a confession section in which passengers reveal those with whom they felt a spark.
Ooh, it was like a reality TV thing yeah. at the end.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of liked it. You know what? If you and your homeboy, you and your homegirl, y'all were like single, this is actually not bad for y'all to go hang out on the plane for, you know what I mean, for one of those holidays and just kick it and have a good time.
You got no plans for Christmas or New Year's, right? You can't really do anything now because of COVID.
I'd get tipsy and go in there and kick it a little bit.
That thing really turned around from when it started.
There you go.
When you started the story, I thought, no way.
And then you have a bet with your homeboy about who could join the Mile High Club.
Oh, without a doubt.
That would definitely be one of the best.
There'd be some gambling involved.
Who could join the Mile High Club? Who can get the most numbers?
Who gets
the most girls at the end of this thing to reveal that they were into you during the confession section?
Oh, that's good, too. Mm.
Which one can really cry during the confessional?
Then all the ladies would like if you cry. Mm, this is nice. Yeah. I like this.
When Linda was talking about Chang Sung Wei, I got to meet this kid.
No disrespect.
All right, there's the BK Lounge for the day.
You could just be really into Asian women, too. Just be into it.
You can't go if you're not a Taiwanese citizen.
That's racist.
That's racist.
That's racist.
I love Asian women. Come on.
Yeah, God.
That's the catch.
Not cool.
Sorry about that, guys.
Xenophobe.
I know, Rod, you were really interested in that. Hope your fiance is listening to this. All right, we're going to break. One segment left. We'll tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your stomach?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is time to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. We are done for the day. But before we get done, we got to let you know what's on tap. It's been a great show. Been a lot of fun bringing you the Triple Option. Hope you've had a lot of fun listening to the Triple Option. All right, gentlemen, I'm sure for all of us, going to be a little Monday night football. The Tampa Bay Bucks versus the LA Rams. Who you got in this game?
I got the Bucks. You know, they're favored by 4, and I just haven't totally believed in the Rams this year.
The defense is legit, bro.
The defense is legit now. And part of that may be my golf issues and their offensive line I've talked about for the last couple years. They're going to have to retool. They lost. Usually you don't lose a 61-year-old at left tackle and worry about it, but they did. So
Whitworth?
Whitworth. They had to talk him back out of retirement a couple years ago.
Which I don't know why they did that. I thought they would.
And then gave him a long-term, 3-year big deal.
That made no sense. I don't know why they did that. Rams like to pay people.
They do.
They do.
Rams have some Cowboys in them.
They do.
We love
Great
you.
Great point.
But his knee is shot. Doesn't matter.
He's one of us.
He's got more gray hairs than black. We still want him. Yeah, I'm leaning Tampa in this game, too. I mean, Tampa has not impressed me as much as I wanted them to. And I say that, aren't they 7-2? Like, they're one of the best
seven
teams
and three,
in football
I think,
right now. I still think they're better. I'm not super bought in on the L.A. Rams. That defense is legit. I think they're number one in scoring and number two in total or something like that. So it'll be tough for Tom Brady and that Tampa Bay offense. But not seen enough from Jared Goff to think they're going to go on the road and beat Tampa Bay tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. I'm still waiting on them to put it all together. They haven't yet. You'll see the offense click every now and then, and then you'll see the offense have a bad game. I think Tom Brady still put his fingerprint on this organization as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
If you go listen to sports radio in Tampa and you go read some of the articles from the insiders, they'll tell these stories about how Tom Brady, certain things he's suggesting, with Tampa, New England, we did this when we had night games. He's still starting to put his influence on that team, and I think it may take to the end of the year or even next year for you to see them at their full potential, because they got so many weapons now.
Yeah.
AB's in the slot, guys. He's like the third.
And he really hadn't this would be bad. He hadn't gotten off yet. Rod, I'm going to look at you because we're adults and we know exactly what we're talking about.
You're right. He hasn't. No. Nobody's gotten in their groove just yet.
What are you talking about, dude?
They're waiting on
only
that.
One of us had a bar mitzvah in this room. And you're saying I'm not the adult?
That's true. You were a man at 13.
Ridiculous. I've been a man way longer than you guys.
Did you have to sing at your bar mitzvah?
I guess.
Like sing? Is there like a song that you sing, like a song of coming of age?
Well, there's a lot of Hebrew where sort of chanting is probably the better word.
Okay, there you go.
Is there any broken glass like you have at the wedding?
No.
Is that just the wedding?
That's just the wedding.
I think someone dropped a cup during the dance.
That was accidental.
That was just a total accident. Yeah, it was one of my parents was drunk or something like that. Man. We've got, I hate to end the show like this.
What the hell, man?
No, just let us go.
Why would you do that?
Just let us leave.
Oh, man. Breaking Bad? For who? For all of us?
You report, we decide.
Oh, no.
Is that what it is? Or you decide, we report?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Guess what, guys? Another big-time high school football player from Central Texas has committed to play at Ohio State. That would be class of 2022 wide receiver Caleb Burton, who plays his high school ball at Del Valle. He's a five-star, the number four player in the state of Texas for the class of 2022. He, within the last few minutes, committed via Twitter to the world-famous, as Gus Johnson kept saying on Saturday, Ohio State University.
He must get paid by the Ohio State University.
Gus?
Yeah, he's a big fan. Well, guys, we've said it before. I mean, you can't, it's hard to blame these kids. It does suck that once Central Texas has actually become a nice little pipeline for Division I talent, it's been when Texas wasn't getting it. Imagine if five-star receivers were coming out of Del Valle when Mack was in his heyday.
No.
That would have been, and we thought, we had O.J. McClintock, a couple guys, but we didn't have guys like that.
No, even when I was at Texas, Central Texas wasn't producing talent like it is now. So, that is the Shakespearean irony of it all right now.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We're going to have some basketball coming up. This will be like one of the last Mondays, hopefully, BK, that we're going to not have, just football.
Yeah. Right? Texas basketball.
Texas men's and women's
Wednesday
basketball.
Wednesday night.
Get on the bandwagon,
that's the
fellas.
Best part of the afternoon drive shift. We're going to have some earlier days, baby. Some shorter shows because of Texas hoops.
I'm excited
Shock
about
of the world.
I'm excited about them. We'll get into that. We'll get into football, obviously, as the short week continues. We do have some stuff for you coming up next. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis, then Insincerious, and then what's the web show called? The video game show that I think I would like, the e-game?
Checkpoint.
Checkpoint! All right, check that out if you'd like. For Rod, for Brad, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.